American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, April 19th, 2005. Day two of the week, and you are here, and this is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny and aliens and Scientologists and anybody else who's trying to enslave your free will. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. That's at Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. And you'll only be time for me to turn the page when you hear me say, I can't believe Scientologists are trying to get kindergartners in Sweden. Holy cow. I mean, you know, that really just says something about the use of your quote-unquote cult. Anyhow, this is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 7-6 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, and KJAG Radio. And there's more coming, too. The virus is spreading throughout the entire Internet so that people can hear the truth unregulated, unmitigated, and anything else that you can think of that this program is not. Outstanding to be here. Glad you're here. Glad you downloaded. Glad you're listening. Let's get straight into some feedback to find out what you think about the show. Dear Sean, regarding the Minuteman Project that you've commented on once or twice, it's been spun out of control. Its own participants have undermined its original purpose. As you know, if you're going to run a campaign, then you need a leader, and you need rules, and you need to enforce those rules in order for it to be effective, which, well, I mean, that's pretty good. That's what I've been doing wrong all this time, holy cow. Since it's pretty much illegal in the U.S. to use any effective means of enforcing rules among a campaign such as this, the whole thing falls to shit and makes a mockery of what it should be. Which is kind of weird, you know. You hear a lot of, like, media crap and everybody spinning it, saying that these guys running around with guns and stuff like that. But I guess that's not really how it's going. The Minuteman Project is now a joke. It has done little or no good except the fact that apparently the real Border Patrol has been stepped up a bit. They're still not allowed to do much. Me? I'm against borders. I find it positively comical that people aren't even alive anymore, chalked out these imaginary lines on the dirt ball before I was born, and I'm not allowed to cross them for some unexplainable reason. Seriously, why shouldn't I be allowed to drive from here to Argentina as long as I have the cash to pay for the trip? Why shouldn't people be able to move wherever they want? I know it's wishful thinking that will never come to anything. And that's from Apanthropy. Apan, good man. Now, the thing is that he's got a very valid point. I mean, borders are for the border-minded. I mean, that's really kind of ridiculous when you think about it. Of course, it's there for government. Government's major role is to keep the majority of the stuff for the minority of the people and keep the majority of the people away from the minority stuff. That's the whole purpose of government, is to govern, to control you. So in order to control anything, of course, you have to also, and same as this Minuteman Project, you have to have parameters and borders, and you have to be able to control your people. Because, you know, otherwise all the rats get out of the cages, and it just doesn't work, A-Pants. So, you know, they got to keep us in our cages, man. Otherwise, we're going to be, you know, going everywhere. I mean, this is why we don't have flying cars. If we had flying cars, I mean, think of the possibilities if you yourself right now had a flying car. You'd be able to go wherever you want. You could fly down to, oh, I don't know, Mexico, Argentina. You could work here. Fly to another country, deposit your money in that bank where they got sick high interest rates or whatever, skip banks all around. Oh my God, if you could fly around, think of the freedom you would have if there were flying cars. And this is why we will never see flying cars for the masses, because the last thing that our overlords want is for the masses to have flying cars. It just doesn't work. And for the same reason why we got borders, it's the same reason we will not have flying freaking cars. Unless, of course, we managed to go out and get our own flying cars and make it happen along that angle. Let's get into some sort yourself out. We got some sorting out to do. Dear Sean, I need sorting out. Well, that's why you're in this portion of the show. With the current state of the world, I've had this thought rolling around in my head for a couple of weeks now. The thought keeps telling me to clean the guns again. No, I'm kidding. I made that up. With the current state of the world, I've had this thought rolling around in my head for a couple weeks now. First, I feel it is necessary to state this now. I think of myself as a soldier. Well, that's good. I enlisted in the Marines before, but got DQ for reasons I'd like to not go into now and cannot volunteer. Well, that's fine. Well, you did your part. You signed up. That's all good. Now, here's the problem. When the draft comes wandering around, just a matter of time, I'm betting June or July after a nuke strike on the U.S. city. Ooh, that's up. You're making some serious prophecy here, okay? You're saying there's going to be a nuke strike on a U.S. city sometime in after June or July. Now, I don't know if we're going to get a nuke strike on a U.S. city, but I think there's going to be a nuke go off in the next 2 years, for sure, probably within the next year. And I think that it's probably going to be something to do with Asia. But anyway, I'll be able to get into the military. However, I don't want to get in because I'm not big on the idea of possibly dying in Iran. They're next. So that Bush can line his pockets with gold. I'm 21, so I'd be in the second draft pick. I've asked some other people with mixed responses. Dad, a draft would get all the gangbang and thugs off the street. Friend, there's not going to be a draft. You're just paranoid. And finally, I've come to you for your opinion. When the time comes, should I go or bug out or fuck off in the woods or bomb the ASVAB and other tests in hopes of being deemed stupid and incapable of being a grunt? I'm leaning more towards bugging out right now, and I'm only about 60% on that. Any advice you give would be great. As I'm tired of this issue, wasting brain space, there's better things to think about than my boring wage slave job. I turn big pieces of steel into little pieces of steel on a big pair of scissors. Ooh, that's a nice job. So he wants to know what to do about this draft thing. Okay, first of all, the draft is a really bad idea. The reason why the draft is an exceptionally bad idea is because you have soldiers who do not want to be soldiers there. This is why in Canada, and I'll go on the record to say this because I was in the reg force and I've worked with the militia, and hands down, the best soldiers I have ever met, without a doubt, were always in the reserves. Now, there are those who say, well, I've seen clowns who are in the reserves, the National Guard. These guys are clowns. Yes, a lot of them are clowns, but they're clowns who want to be soldiers, and that's the major key. These aren't people who got jobs because there's nothing else available. These were people who have other jobs and have decided that they want to be soldiers. That's their goal. Now, when you bring in a draft, you got people who don't want to be there, okay, in a war they don't believe in, doing things they don't want to do to, you know, risking their lives for a country they feel betrayed by. Now, this is not a good, let's say, starting ground for morale. That doesn't really work so good, you know, on the whole global front thing. So, personally, if there's a draft, that means that they're losing way too many people. I don't know if there's going to be a draft. I would doubt that there's going to be a draft. I would say that there's a very, very small chance. I'd give it maybe a 37% chance for draft. If a draft were to show up, okay, should you run? Should you go and fight? Should you do this? Should you do that? I cannot make that call. From the letter you sent me, it seems to me the majority of your belief structure is to bug out, is to get out of there, and because you said you're about 60% for it. So that means you bug out. And that would mean then that I would probably be a little bit more proactive, though. I'd watch the wires, see if a draft's coming in. I'll do my part on this end of the show, see if we know anything about the draft coming in. That means all you flying monkeys out there, please keep an eye on the draft. We'd like to know so that we can give enough people enough warning so if they want to bug, they can head for Canada and make, like, you know, the bandits and get out of there. So I think you need to follow your own will, okay? There's certain advantages to going to Iraq. If you can survive, get through it. I mean, you wind up with a career, you're a war hero, blah, blah, blah. And you could spin that to your advantage, okay? However, you know, what's your alternative? Like, you have to live your life and you have to do something. So if you haven't got anything going on and you don't really care what you do and you're just going to wander around aimlessly for the rest of your life, that's cool. But if you want to go and be a soldier and do some stuff, you have the opportunity to do that now. I bet you if you showed up now, for whatever reasons you were DQ'd for, just say, hey, you know, I was disqualified, I feel really bad, but I cleaned up my life, you know, and I really want to be a Marine. Because right now, the recruiters will do jumping jacks and backflips and, you know, crawl on their belly like a reptile in order to get you to join the Army because they're hurting for people. So I find it kind of hard to believe that these people, you know, don't really want you in there. So the other thing side of this is, too, is that whenever a war like this occurs, it has a tendency to filter out a lot of shitheads out of the army. This is kind of funny, but the army should be full of soldiers and warriors and things like that. You know, this is what the army is for. And what happens is you get a lot of university guys who want their education paid for who go into the army, and then they're like, oh, shit, you mean we gotta fight? Well, I'm out of here. And that's what they do. And that's, be it right, be it wrong, they're gone. And then what you wind up with is a more elite army because everybody there is there to fight, blah, 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 blah. So in your position right where you're at now, you have to do what you feel is right. If you join the army and you manage to make it through all this bullshit, get through Iraq without getting a whole bunch of snakes in your head, you could come out of this thing on top. More than anything else, you do get a little bit of travel. You are going to be able to bank a bit of coin, and when you come back, you'll be able to make a few more choices rather than cutting big pieces of metal into little pieces of metal with a big pair of scissors. But that's just my call. So if you want to leave, I would think about leaving, probably watch the skies make that happen. But if you're in a wage slave job you hate anyway and you got nothing else going on, maybe that's something you want to look at. I mean, your country is at war. You may wish to participate in that. I don't know. It's up not for me to make that decision, okay? But if you are going to go for something like that, I mean, there's a lot of training you can do to prepare yourself for this kind of eventuality. And in Iraq, it's scary right now. And maybe we go to Iran. Maybe there's going to be a nuke strike. If there's a nuke strike on American soil, and FEMA goes into power like I talked about yesterday, the place you want to be is in the army, because at least then you're considered to be on the winning team and you can look after people who are not in the army and maybe do some good. Now, we got some news here in the Black Ice blogs. This is some interesting new malware that's coming out regarding weblogs. Everybody knows everybody reads weblogs, blah, 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 blah. But now maybe this might be FUD, who knows? But cyber criminals are starting to use fake blogs in order to snare new victims. The bogus web journals are being used as traps that infect visitors' machines with keylogging software or viruses. I wonder how this works. Filtering firm WebSense said it has found hundreds of bogus blogs baited with all kinds of malicious software to snare the unwary. WebSense warned that baited blogs could get past traditional security measures that try to protect people from malicious programs. The company said blogs were being used because they inadvertently offered lots of help to computer criminals. Blogs are free and simple to use. They use lots of storage space and can be used anonymously, and most do not scan stored files for viruses and other malicious programs. So that means you don't download shit off of blogs. This is kind of, unless it's my blog, which you're allowed to. WebSense said it has seen examples of some computer criminals creating a legitimate-looking weblog, loading it with keylogging software or viral code, and then sending out the address as though through instant messenger, spam, or email. Well, you know, who goes to a blog that's sent to them by, you know, like that? Like, you just don't do that. These aren't the kind of blog websites that someone would stumble upon and infect their machine accidentally, said Dan Hubbard, WebSense's research director. The success of these attacks relies upon a certain level of social engineering to persuade the individual to click on the link. Whoa. Kind of scary. Now, I've had people send me links to their weblogs, and I click on them now, but I guess I'm not going to be doing that anymore. Kind of a little bit scary, but there it is. Now, you want to talk about something that this story makes me giggle. And this is a horrible, I'm a horrible person for giggling at this story. I'll come out and say it right off the top. Equestrian cloning. This is fantastic. The birth of the world's second horse clone has been announced by scientists. The foal is a copy of world endurance champion Piraz, an animal that has been castrated and was therefore incapable of normal reproduction. The research was undertaken by genetic engineering labs, CryoZootech of Evry, France, and LTRCIZ of Cremona, Italy, where the foal is being kept. The world's first horse clone, Promethea, was produced by the same group of researchers in 2003. The new clone, called Piraz CryoZootech Stallion, they put their name in the name of the horse, was born 25 February, wearing 42 kilograms. He will not be used for competition himself, but instead will make his living siring new generations of horses. Piraz is the donor of genetic material used to create the foal. Reached the top of his equestrian discipline in 1994 and 1996. He's owned by the Canavi family of Fort Valley, Virginia, U.S. In 2002, Valerie Canavi heard about cloning and immediately liked the idea that her champion could transmit his qualities to future generations despite being castrated. No horse clone had yet been born when she allowed the horse physiologist to perform a biopsy on Piraz and store tissue samples in nitrogen. The original horse is a champion with a good record, but it was gelded, so it couldn't have any offspring, said Professor Galley of LTRCIZ. In the cases, best horses, in these cases, the best horses are never bred, so they do not contribute to genetic progress. When we have achieved to overcome this problem, in 2 or 3 years, the clone foal can be used as a stallion. Now then, what does this mean? What this means is you could be seeing races where you have all the horses are, in essence, the same goddamn horse. Further to that, because they're cloning these super high-end racing horses and endurance horses, they are going to drive down the value of all the other horses that are in the world. Why? Because you have horse breeds are there because they have certain bloodlines and certain characteristics and traits, and it gets really kind of creepy, actually. The whole equestrian thing is a little bit weird. I don't know how I feel about equestrian stuff, actually. I know they make big dumps in the park when I take my dog through there, and they don't have to clean up after them, so that's a bit of a bummer. But, you know, what this is going to do, I believe, is this is going to wind up causing, like, right now, it's nothing. Everyone's like, oh, look at that. But you will see that in the future, you're going to see some really serious devaluation of horse stock if everyone starts using gen-joked animals in these races. And not only that, I mean, what will that do to betting and odds? I mean, the whole ramifications of clone animals, especially in horses, is just staggering, considering these people are obsessed with bloodlines. It's something that we want to look at, and it kind of makes me giggle just a little bit to think all these people who spent sick amounts of money on their stupid horses are now going to be devaluing their animals. I just think that's kind of funny, because I don't believe in animals for racing. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I think animals are our friends, and they should be our companions, and I don't think we should be, like, beating them and all this kind of crap that goes on with horse racing and turning them into glue, and just the whole thing is just kind of cruel, I find. So this sort of a story makes me giggle just a little bit. Now, speaking of gen-joking, let's talk about the illegal gen-joked rice that got sold to China. The environmental group Greenpeace says genetically modified rice is being sold to China even though it's not been approved for public consumption. The group says rice is being sold in markets in central Hubei province and it may have contaminated exports. A Greenpeace spokesman said the government was, in effect, experimenting on the Chinese people. Chinese government scientists told the BBC they were unaware of any illegal sales of GM rice. Bullshit. The China has been testing genetically modified rice for years and is expected to approve a strain for commercialization soon. Greenpeace says they made the discovery after interviewing farmers and seed companies and testing rice samples from the area. So they were there, they tested, and they found the genetically modified rice in circulation being eaten. Lui Haiyang, program director for Greenpeace in Beijing, said campaigners bought rice and seeds that had been engineered to produce the protein product from the bacterium Bacillus thuringiensis, BT. The protein is toxic to insect pests. He said the BTGM rice was being sold at markets in Wuhan and a nearby suburb in the two cities of Hubei. Greenpeace campaigner Xing Pang Cheng said the genetic engineering industry was out of control in China. A small group of rogue scientists have taken the world's most important staple food crop into their own hands and are subjecting the Chinese public to a totally unacceptable experiment, he said. Now that's very cool that Greenpeace was able to catch that and see the genetically modified rice is being sold in Japan. What does that also mean? That means if you're buying genetically modified rice that's made in, oh, pardon me, not Japan, in China, if you're buying genetically modified rice from China, maybe, or buying rice from China even, it seems that the Chinese government is labeling anything, so that means you don't buy rice from China anymore. That's how that works. And I just kind of go with the better safe than sorry. You can say, well, Sean said you're genetically modifying your rice because that's what Greenpeace said. Follow the link on the webpage and you can read it for yourself. Sick and weird. And do I think they're doing it? You better believe I bet they're doing it. The government experiments on its people all the time. MKUltra experiments, the Montauk Project, Australian's government's done it. The British invented the shit. It's every government experiments on their people. Chemtrails, NutraSweet, the FDA, the World Health Organization, all these guys. You know, it's not what's ethical, it's what they get caught for. That's what they're concerned about. So you want to bear that in mind whenever you wonder, oh, I don't know if the government's experimenting on us. You better believe they are, because that's what they do. Now, you want to ask yourself, do you think North Korea is up to something? Why would I suggest such a crazy idea? Well, check this out. South Korea believes its northern neighbor has suspended operations at its nuclear power plant in Yongbyon an official in Seoul, said, "We're treating this matter very seriously," said Kim Suk, a spokesman for the South Korean Foreign Ministry. Now, who cares if they close a nuclear power plant? Like, why is that a big deal? Well, the reason why this is bad is because if the plant has indeed been closed, analysts warn that spent nuclear fuel could be removed and reprocessed into weapons-grade plutonium. Aha! North Korea warned in February it had already developed nuclear weapons. I see. It also said that it would not return to the multilateral talks aimed at ending nuclear programs unless the U.S. changed its hostile attitudes toward Pyongyang. Kim Suk, Director General of North American Affairs and South Korean Foreign Ministry, said Seoul was trying to work out the purpose of the recent shutdown. Well, that would be something to check out, because you can bank that they need power, so why are they closing down this power generator? Well, have to see what North Korea's intention or its future actions will be, Mr. Kim told local radio station on Monday. The 5-megawatt facility at Yongbyon was ostensibly designed to provide nuclear energy to fuel-hungry North Korea. It was shut down under a 1994 pact with the U.S., but Pyongyang reopened in late 2002 amid escalating bilateral tensions. Aha! In October 2003, the North said it had reprocessed 8,000 nuclear fuel rods at Yongbyon, a claim which, if correct, would have produced enough plutonium to make a handful of nuclear bombs. Which, you know, I'm not worried about a handful of nuclear bombs, I'm just worried about one. North Korea is also suspected of running a separate nuclear development program based upon the enrichment of uranium. Since 2002, 3 rounds of discussions involving U.S., Russia, and the 2 Koreas, Japan and China, have sought to ease tensions on the peninsula with little success. A potential fourth round was canceled earlier this year after North Korea said it was furious at the U.S. Secretary Condoleezza Rice had branded the nation an outpost of tyranny. Well, the reason why Condoleezza Rice and her amazing teeth has branded North Korea an outpost of tyranny is because the leader of North Korea is an absolute stark, screaming, mad nut boy. Okay, the guy is absolutely bonkers. We're talking Stalin-level psychopath here. And, you know, now he's got nuclear weapons. Now, North Korea is some scary, scary stuff. There's scary stuff going on in North Korea, and I'm very concerned about this, and we don't hear enough about it. You know, we're all talking about Iran and Iraq. I'm more concerned about China and Taiwan and North Korea. Those are the zones that Sean Kay says you should be watching. Okay, the rest of the world is watching Iran and Iraq and Syria and Israel and all those guys. They know that they're watching. But under the radar, what do you got happening over there in North Korea, man? We need to be paying attention to that, because before you know it, man, we could have a small little sun just sort of appear on a peninsula, and, you know, a whole lot of people not wearing 10,000 sunblocks are going to have a really bad day. So we want to make sure that if a nuke goes off, we at least know who's responsible right away, and we don't want to be surprised by it. That's the big one. That's the one that we do not want. We do not want to be surprised by nuclear weapons. We got caught with our pants down once, apparently. So let's not get caught with our pants down, apparently, again. Even though, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Now, the interesting thing is here, what if North Korea, what if you had a nuclear device and you wanted to frame another country for a nuclear strike? For example, what if you had a nuclear device, you went into the Palestinian areas where the Israeli settlements are, and you nuked Israel? Okay, try to imagine that. And, you know, you put some stuff online, or you made a couple phone calls, and you framed Palestine for it. What do you suppose is going to happen next? Or let's go one step further. Let's say you go into China, if you're North Korea, and you've got visions of screwing over the Chinese people. Let's say you go into China with your nuke, dust that sucker off, and point the blame at Taiwan. Do you think China's going to ask any questions? No, they're going to dust Taiwan, because that's what they're going to do. People are going to be screaming for retribution. Further to that, even if Americans got a nuclear device, they let the nuclear device go on the United States soil. It'd be the best thing that ever happened for the Bush government, because they could institute FEMA. All our rights would go immediately out the window, because we're in a time of war. Somebody nuked us. Oh, my God. You see how this goes? It's all based upon fear. Fear and the use of fear to provide motivation for your people. This is why it's a problem. Now, something that's not a problem is broadband. Everyone should have broadband. And what's hot about broadband is space-based broadband. Check this out. The WINS, a wideband internetworking engineering test and demonstration satellite, that's what WINS stands for, and the WINS satellite which, even though it shouldn't be called, it should be called a wind satellite, but anyway, will be launched by an H-2A launch vehicle in the fiscal year of 2005 to establish the world's most advanced information and telecommunications network. So we're talking about space-based broadband here. The WINS satellite communication system aims at a maximum speed of 155 megabits receiving and 6 megabits transmitting. So that means it can upload, you can upload to it at 155 and 6 megs download. For households with 45-centimeter apart aperture antennas, same size of existing communication satellite antennas, an ultra-high speed of 1.2 gigabits per offices with 5-meter antennas. So what I do is I go up on the roof, go get myself a 5-meter antenna, plant it on the roof, point it at the satellite, and I get 1.2 gigabits. Nice. In addition to establishing domestic ultra-high-speed internet network, the project also aims to construct the ultra-high-speed international internet access, especially with Asian Pacific countries and regions that are more closely related to Japan. Now, we take that, cross that with voice, and what do you got? The WINS project is responsible for demonstration of the validity and usefulness of technologies related to large-capacity data communications in Japan's space infrastructure project, iSpace. iSpace? Great name. Designed to promote the use of satellites in such fields as internet communication, education, medicine, and disaster measures, and intelligent transport systems. Now, the thing that's scary there is the word intelligent transport systems, because you know that they're going to put the satellite up and say, oh, it'll be great, we'll have high-speed internet for everyone. Of course, it'll cost an arm and a leg, and the intelligent transport systems means that we could be having computers uploading to satellites with RFID tags, because that's where the RFID is being used mostly, is within transport. Ah-ha-ha! See how this works? I can see how this can be used against us. So the way you circumvent this is to learn about it. The WINS technology takes advantage of the fact that satellite communications are far-reaching, multicasting, and disaster-resistant. They also cannot be used indoors, so there's something to be said for that. Ultra-fast satellite internet-based communications will remove the so-called digital divide by providing high-speed internet services in areas where terrestrial communication infrastructure are poor, among other uses. It will make telemedicine possible. What the hell is that? Bringing high-quality medical treatment to remote areas and distance education, connecting students and teachers who are geographically separated. Well, that's a great idea in theory, but that means that these people who apparently are, you know, geographically separated and can't get access, that means you have to get them internet, you have to get them computers, you have to get them trained. There's a large infrastructure problem here. The WINS project team has been carrying out tests on the same electric model, SEM, and parallel tests with the structural thermal mode since mid-June 2004. Now, they're talking a lot about education and free access and lots of good stuff. We love all that stuff. Looks good. Like it. Think it's a winner. Problem is, though, how much of that are we really going to see? How much of that is it really going to do? Is it going to be really used for free internet access, or is it going to be used to track people? Is it going to be used by the forces of good or the forces of evil? These are problems we need to address. These are things we need to find out about what's going to be happening with these satellites providing broadband. Because you never know, your car, who's got access to that? What if General Motors buys access and then starts doing, you know, uploading black box data? You see where all this is going? You gotta look two steps ahead. Always look two steps ahead. Now, we got a great piece of news here, and this is a good one. I always like reporting good news, because there's so much bad news every day. But so when we get a good piece of good news, wow, I hang on to it with both hands. I really do. Makes me feel fantastic. We got an online freedom bill here, which just kicks ass. Today, in the House of Representatives, Congressman Jeb Hensarling from Texas introduced a companion piece of legislation to the State Minority Leader Harry Reid's bill, S-678, to exclude the internet from the definition of public communication in the Bipartisan Campaign Finance Reform Act of 2002. Now, this means this is a bill that deserves bipartisan support, and it's exciting to see it off to a good start. In short, if this bill passes both houses and becomes law in the next 50 or so days, the disastrous FEC rulemaking process will be rendered moot. Remember, the FEC is only creating regulations for internet activity because Congress didn't specifically mention the internet at all. A federal judge ruled that even in absence of specific direction in Congress, the FEC had to do so anyway. So this says that the FEC has no ruling on the internet. It takes away their power. How sexy is that? This bill provides that direction and creates that exclusion. It might not solve all the problems of regulation, but it's miles and away the best solution right now. I've already heard from some liberal colleagues that in the blogosphere that they're going to push this bill and hard. The blogosphere has proven extraordinary aptitude when it comes to attacking and stopping something. Let's prove we can be just as much as a powerful influence when it comes to creating and moving something forward. Full bill text, as well as Representative Harsing's Dear Colleague letter, are listed on the links from the website. So check that out. And if you got a chance, we want to push this bill. Very, very cool to get this little add-on piece put on. Because always those little add-on pieces always serve to screw us over. And it'd be nice to screw over those who want to regulate the internet with the same kind of add-on bill. Hey, baby, if it's good for Goose, you know it's good for Gander. That's the way I look at it. Now, this is an interesting story because we know that our information and our identities are all being stolen. Every single day, I think for the last 2 weeks, I've been talking about more and more corporations that have been losing our information. They've been hacked. They've lost the data. We've got huge amounts of credit card fraud, identity theft. It just goes on and on and on. Everyone winds up having, you know, they're responsible for their own credit rating, even though they gave it to someone. They lost it. Okay, with these companies who take your data and they get it hacked and they lose it, aren't they liable? Like, if I loan you my car and you trash my car, you owe me a car. That's how that works. Well, look at this. Comcast, huge company. Comcast Corp, the top U.S. cable television network operator, is being sued by a Seattle area woman for disclosing her name and contact information, court records showed on Thursday. In a lawsuit filed in King County, Washington, Donnell Ledbetter said she was contacted by a debt collection agency in January and told to pay $4,500 for downloading copy-protected music or face a lawsuit for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wow. Ledbetter, a mother of two teenage children, was a customer of Comcast's high-speed internet access service. So this gets into a whole can of worms. The company, Settlement Support Center LLC, based in Washington State, was using information that the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA, had obtained in a Philadelphia lawsuit over illegal sharing of digital music files, said Lori Liebeck, a lawyer representing Ledbetter. But no court authorized Comcast to release names and addresses of its customers or notified its client that her information had been given to an outside party, Liebeck said. Comcast should respect the rights of privacy for those who pay them monthly bills. Yeah, what side of the bread is your butter on there, Comcast? Liebeck said. Representatives from Comcast said they would not immediately comment on the lawsuit. That's because they don't know what to say because they're dummies. The RIAA has filed thousands of lawsuits since December and settled several hundred for about $3,000 each. And most of these are out of court. They don't go to court. Don't pay these bastards off. Go to court. Go to court. When I was at DEF CON, I guess it would have been last year. There was a lawyer up there. None of these guys have gone to court. Don't pay. Do not pay. Fight. Fight, damn it. Fight. Stand up and fight. Don't just roll over and take it in the ass from these companies who, you know, think it'll be great to, you know, just hit you up with these bills. They'll use for things that don't even make sense. Fight them. Don't just roll over. And that's why I'm really happy that this lady's doing this, because we need to get more information like this out to people to show that you can fight. You don't actually have to, you know, roll over and just give up. Because that seems to be the new American way, doesn't it? And I just mean, I don't just mean United States. I mean North America, especially Canada. I mean, my God, we're even worse offenders than the U.S. for just rolling over. Okay, whatever, I guess it's all right. We're terrible for that in Canada. Totally horrible. And now, thank God, somebody has stood up and started to fight. Now, we were talking about anthropy earlier. He's talking about the Minutemen. Well, check this out. It seems like the Mexican military is getting involved in this. The Mexican army is escorting those attempting to cross over the U.S. border illegally, including known drug runners, to areas not patrolled by the Minuteman Project near Narco, Arizona, says Border Patrol sources and other officials, including a U.S. congressman. Now, why would the Mexican military be escorting people who are fleeing their country? Representative Tom Tancredo from Colorado, chairman of the Congressional Immigration Reform Caucus, denounced the action by the Mexican military and called on President Bush to do the same. Good God. Could you imagine the Mexican military? Now, if you've got the Mexican military setting up defense procedures to funnel in, well, invaders, and the military's there, isn't that then become like an invasion? Like, isn't that not even kind of an invasion? Because the Mexican military is involved? President Bush should publicly denounce Mexico's latest act to curb U.S. laws. Said Tancredo, the president of Mexico, is threatening to sue any member of the Minutemen who have contact with a Mexican national, threatening to take the U.S. into an international course of justice at The Hague over a passage of Prop 200 in Arizona. And this is providing transportation to Mexican nationals trying to sneak into the U.S. One could say he's acting in the best interest of his nation. Isn't it unfortunate we cannot say that same thing about President Bush? Well, I don't know why the president would be allowing Mexicans to sneak into the United States unless he thinks that they're going to be bringing American dollars back to Mexico. Gray Deacon, a spokesman for the Minuteman Project, reported illegal immigration is down considerably from previous months, an area patrolled by U.S. citizen volunteers, trying to bring an attention to the problem of the porous border. While he claimed credit for the 241 Minuteman-assisted apprehensions by the Border Patrol in the weeks since the project began, he pointed out the 23-mile section of the border normally sees thousands of crossing attempts a day, while they've been numbered in the dozens a day since the project began. So, well, according to this guy, APAN says the whole thing's a joke, but it seems like he's cut it down from thousands to 12. So, I don't know. You're going to have to check some of this. APAN, I think you're in Arizona. Can we, is that legit or what? I'd like to know. He said the Minuteman aided today in the capture of a coyote, a professional human smuggler. Now, last time I checked, people who smuggled humans were called snakeheads. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that's what they're called. But the traffic is down because the Mexican military is leading illegal aliens, including drug smugglers, away from the area of the border we are patrolling, he said. So, we've got the Mexican military running recce to have invaders coming to the United States. Isn't that kind of a little weird to you when we have a foreign military assisting people in leaving their country? I mean, this whole story is just absolutely freaking bizarre. Just bizarre. Now, I have stayed away, new story, I've stayed away from the gay marriage thing. Okay, I haven't really commented on it. So I'm going to do this story here about Oregon and how it's hating. Oregon be hating in Salem, Oregon. Oregon Supreme Court invalidated, meaning making null and void, 3,000 marriage licenses on Thursday that had been issued to same-sex couples a year ago, saying they were unconstitutional. The court said Multnomah County, which includes Portland and Oregon's most populous city, had violated the state's constitutional definition of marriage as a union between man and a woman. Support for gay weddings became a major issue during the 2004 presidential election campaign. It touched off national debate and prompted President Bush to call for a constitutional ban on same-sex marriages during his successful bid for re-election. Which, of course, it wasn't actually a successful bid for re-election because the entire election was rigged due to black box voting and hacked vote. So the vote was hacked, and George Bush was not elected fairly, and there's been people who protested and said this. So getting, you know, it wasn't actually, he wasn't successfully reelected. He was, he hacked the vote and forced himself back in office, so he's actually kind of, the position he's holding right now is illegal. But that's okay. Oregon Supreme Court said in its ruling that the license issued by the left-leaning Multnomah County were issued without authority and were void at the time they were issued. In San Francisco, more than 4,000 gay couples were married during a month-long period a year before the courts brought them to a halt. The California Supreme Court ultimately ruled those marriages invalid. In November, Oregon, like 10 other states, rejected a change to the state constitution that would have permitted gay marriage. Mary Lee, whose marriage was the first same-sex union in Multnomah County, said the decision filled her with great sadness and great disappointment, because this is a hate law. Kelly Clark, a lawyer with the Defense of Marriage Coalition in Oregon, who argued that against same-sex marriage before the court, said the decision had been made clear that the marriage license were issued were invalid from the beginning. Marriage, by historic definition, is best between a man and a woman, and that's what creates the best foundation unit for society, Clark said. Well, since our society is in such a good state right now, you know, because after all, our society is great, right? We live in a great society. Everybody's doing really, really well. Well, see, now, let's talk about gay marriage for just a second here. No one's ever asked me my views on gay marriage. First of all, I believe in freedom. Freedom. That means that if I want to marry whatever I want to marry, I should be able to do that. If I want to marry a man, I should be able to marry a man. Because I'm not saying I should marry a man and, you know, I don't know. I mean, everybody's consenting. Why would you have a problem with this? The reason why people have a problem with gay marriage is because how are people controlled? Well, people are controlled economically. So as you grow up, as you grow older, you get married. What is the next step after marriage? Children, which is a massive market. Okay, children is a huge market. Think about how much money is dumped into the child industry, both in education and diapers. I mean, you name it. I mean, children are expensive, right? But if you have a bunch of gay marriage and gay become being gay is like an alternative now, where people can decide, no, I'm not going to do that, you have this ability of people to become dinks, double income, no kids. And the last thing that people want, especially psycho, white supremacist, pro-Christian nut jobs want, is for, oh, you know, people to not be cranking out more pups to propagate their religions and so on and so forth. Religion is in its death throes. Hate to say it, Christianity is on its way out. It's in its death throes right now. And as laws like the same-sex marriage and all this kind of stuff, as he's coming to pass, it's just more evidence of the destruction of, you know, so-called the dominator religions of the world losing their footing, and they hate it. So a lot of politicians seek the vote by appealing to these dominated religions and saying, hey, you know what? I stand for what you believe in. We don't believe in same-sex marriage. We believe in, hate and censorship and making sure that nobody has the right to do what they want. We believe in the ability for people to crank out lots of kids, and that way it's expensive, and once you have children then you go in debt, and once you're in debt then you're enslaved because you are constantly having to pay these bills which are always showing up when you're in debt. Show me a person who's got kids, an average everyday person who's got kids, who's not monstrously in debt. It's so hard not to stay out of debt in today's society, which is bizarre. That we're all like, oh, well, you know, you got to go in debt now. People are concerned about their credit rating. I put it to you that you shouldn't go in debt at all. Your number one goal in life should be to stay out of debt. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what you got. These people driving around brand new cars, they don't own those cars. They paid $35,000 for $6,000 worth of steel. Those people are retarded. They didn't buy cars. They're licensing cars. They trade them in every 3 years and upgrade. That's not your car. Further to that, let's just go a little bit further. Let's say we take one of these new cars that are on the market and have it, say, be hit by my 1978 Bronco. Who do you suppose is going to come out of that accident alive? Who do you suppose is coming out of that on top? And because of that, do you think they're going to start seeing a ban on older cars? Is that going to be the next step? Where they say, oh, older cars aren't allowed because it's a safety concern. Everyone has to buy new cars. Because the older cars are dangerous to the new cars. Because the new cars are crap. Now, the smart car that just came out, that diesel one made by Mercedes, apparently it's very, very solid. Oh, it's very safe. But I don't care what anybody says. I would like about 12 feet of steel in front of me. Thanks very much. I like big cars. Granted, I have certain, you know, sort of biases towards large convertible cars. But that said, you know, when you look at these, the method of debt which goes out in the world today through the cars and especially through children, you wonder why is there such a ruckus over this gay marriage thing? Is this where it's going, or is there more sinister things afoot here? Is it because, you know, we want to just give them all pink triangles and lock them in camps? When I was in high school, funny story this, when I was in high school, not proud of this, so I'll say it on the air. People only talk about what they're proud about. I have this tendency to talk about things I'm not proud about, which is weird, but anyway. When I was in high school, I was a rabid homophobe. Rabid. I was a total hate-mongering psych. I was as bad as it got. I believed in human rights and homosexual rights. I'm totally serious here. It was horrible. Horrible thing. Yes, it's true. I believe that. I was 17. I didn't know shit about shit. I was scared I was gay. What do you want from me here? Okay? And a lot of people, I think, a lot of young men go through this. A lot of young men are afraid of gay people because they're afraid, well, I don't want to be gay because, I don't know, because gay's bad. Now, bear in mind, this is back in the late 80s. And, I mean, in the early 80s, if you were, like, this is when, you know, calling people fag and homo was, like, the worst slam ever. You know what I mean? And everybody was doing this. Then, you know what changed my views on homosexuality? And this is so funny. I actually feel kind of like an idiot saying this. But, you know, there's every once in a while, there's a film that comes along that changes your views about who you are and what you do. And the film for me was the movie Philadelphia. And if you haven't seen the film Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, I think Antonio Banderas is in there, too. He plays his partner or whatever. But you should see that film because it changed my life. It made me look at the whole gay thing and go, you know, what the hell are we so afraid of? What the hell are we so afraid of with gay people? Why is it a problem? I remember one time I was drinking in a bar. gay bar in Winnipeg. And I had this gay guy. We were snapped. It was middle of the night. We were all talking and having a good time. And this guy says to me, he goes, you're straight, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, can you explain something to me? And I said, sure. He said, why is it that all the fat rednecks think that all us faggots want to fuck him in the ass? Do you want to fuck a fat redneck in the ass? And I said, no. He said, I don't want to fuck a fat redneck in the ass. We have plenty of nice-looking gay people to fuck. And that makes total sense. I don't know what the terror is. You don't see the gay people hanging out in front of the churches trying to seduce, you know, various family members. That doesn't seem to happen. So what is the fear here? Where is the motivation for all this hatred? That's, you know, because fear breeds hatred. So what the hell are you afraid of? Please, if there's people against gay marriage here, write me. I want to know. I want to know what the problem is. Are you so concerned with society? Oh, society will fall. Dude, I will show you a whole ocean of things you should be more concerned about than gay marriage. Holy shit. Let's talk about pharmaceutical companies. You think a gay marriage is not the problem here? As a matter of fact, if you were to go back through history, why don't you check in history all the people who were movers and shakers in history who are either bisexual or homosexual? People who are bisexual or homosexual generally think a little differently from regular mainstream people, and this is why a lot of major innovators in history were, in fact, gay. Not all of them. I don't even know if I'd say most of them were, but many of them were. A significant amount of them were. So this is something you want to think about before you get all crazy with the hatred. Because if we allow anti-gay marriage laws to come into effect, then what you'll see is that will become the cornerstone of, hatred for the homosexual. And it becomes obviously allowed that there's hatred for homosexuals, because making anti-gay marriage laws means that homosexuals are then obviously evil and bad, because if they weren't evil and bad, why wouldn't they be allowed to marry? You see where all this is going? This is a huge issue. And me, I'm throwing in with pro-choice. I've always thrown in with pro-choice. So once again, y'all want to marry, buddy? You go right ahead. I've got no problem with it. And I think, hey, if you're happy, baby, the world is full of misery. I report on it every day. I see tons of news. So if you can get a little bit of joy in your life by being with someone you love, rock on, dude. That's what I say. Now, I've got a web. This is the power of the internet right here. I love this kind of shit because it puts things on the run. Last April Fool's Day, I got nailed with an April Fool's story. True, I was happy I got nailed with this April Fool's story. I love being deceived. Where you've got, that's a joke, I don't like being deceived. But with this particular case, I reported on a story where Scientology had been adopted by a major university. And I was like, oh my God. You know, if that's happened, that's a real problem, because then it's going really mainstream, and this is like just a nightmare. What a nightmare to see Scientology doing this. Well, I got a news story sent to me. Now, if you follow the link from the webpage, you're going to need to use a translator. I didn't go to a translator because, to be honest with you, I don't know a good one. Has Firefox got a good translator? Somebody send me a link to that, because I'd like to know if there's a good translation plug-in or something for Firefox. That would be hot. If not, somebody make one. Now, this article was sent to me. It's in Swedish, so run it through Babelfish or something like that. And here's what the translation says. Scientology kindergarten is criticized by parents. Huh. The religious Scientology movement is trying to recruit children for two preschools in Ensked, Stockholm. That's in Sweden. Now, this is the same sort of preschools that are out there for like Montessori. If you guys ever heard of Montessori, this is like a preschool kind of thing. So you get the kids when they're really young to make lifelong members of this sick, deranged, mind-numbingly damaging cult. In recent days, advertisement is being sent to residences in a nearby area who've reacted that kindergartens connected with Scientology movement hasn't clearly been stated on the advertisement, writes Dagens Nyheter. Now, I know I got people in the Netherlands who listen to this, so if you could find out more information, or even better still, send me some photos of these pricks so we can send up, you know, let people know. Definitely let Xenu know, Xenu.net, that is. The preschoolers are a private and financed with support from Stockholm's city, i.e. so the preschools are private, but they're financed with tax dollars from the people of Sweden. Now, I don't know much about Sweden, but I do know they're really, really anal when it comes to things like their privacy and being independent and things like that. So this is something that they're really going to be happy about. The chief of the kindergarten denies that the business activity is religious, but says that it is in fact being run by being run after the Scientology's philosophy. Well, their philosophy is to take people's brains and screw them over so they can get more cash. That's the philosophy. And the great thing is that they opened this stupid preschool in Sweden And over here, way on the west coast of Canada, I was able to find out about it and out that to the world. So now everybody knows what kind of levels those scumbags are willing to step to. You know, God, I hate those people. I really do. You know, I cannot stand them. And it's not got nothing to do with religion. It's got nothing. All you Scientologists, if you happen to be listening, I don't hate you. I don't hate you. I hate the religion because you're being exploited. You must understand this. I don't wish violence. Never, ever attack a Scientologist. These people are infected. They have a software virus. You don't break a computer because it's got bad software. You change the software. And these people originally went to Scientology because they were hurting. And then the leaders of their church who brought these people in to milk them for money. It's very, very sad. And we don't need to destroy Scientology. We need to destroy Scientology by helping Scientologists escape the cult. Let's just clarify that. So don't attack Scientologists. Hate Scientology, but love the poor bastard who is involved, because you know what? He or she is in a really bad way. And one day, they're going to need some help. Now, here's a fantastic story that you'll never, ever hear anywhere, but some pit bulls saved a chick. In Omaha, Nebraska, two dogs whose breed has a reputation for being mean played the roles and rescues of a woman who's being attacked by another dog. A red chow, another dog that gets a really bad rap, jumped into this woman's yard of Angie Porcrano, 22, in her yard on Monday when two pit bulls from the neighboring yard was like, "Hey, dude, she doesn't own a chow. She's getting mawed on by a chow. Let's go kick his ass." So these two pit bulls jump the fence, run into her yard, and wreck the chow. Just fuck the chow up. Now, that is a fantastic story because this shows, one, the pit bulls could have trussed that fence at any time, which anyone who owns one of these noble dogs will tell you that, yeah, they can get over a fence without much difficulty. As a matter of fact, there's stories of them jumping through plate glass. However, they could have done that at any time, but they didn't. And it saw a neighbor, wasn't even its master, but the breed has such an intense love for humans, like most terriers, that when it saw a human being attacked, they put their own lives in danger, worked in tandem, went over and wrecked the dog that was attacking their neighbor. Wouldn't it be nice if humans would do the same things for their neighbors? Just a thought. Let's get into today's Daily Hack. Screw the mafia! As of late, the MPAAs and RIAs of the world are claiming that we are denying their justly earned money and trying to find ways to put an end to this supposed loss through litigation. It would seem that their scare tactics have been fruitful as they keep getting settlements out of court and probably generate even more profit from these activities. Their aim of their campaign, of course, is not to target and eradicate file sharing as much as it is an attempt to control the market and dictate where and on what our hard-earned money is spent. The wealthiest nowadays decide what we listen to and watch using staggering public relations campaigns. The most releases are format productions where talent, passion, creativity are come after profits and greed. Most of us feel they should look into wider availability for more affordable pricing instead of claiming higher moral ground as an excuse to prop up an outdated failing business model. Ironically, dramatic theaters, opera houses, and so forth are desperately trying to find an audience among common people as their traditionally highbrow image is not allowing them to be competitive. However, the production companies are working towards dangerous inaccessibility for regular people. It is natural that we want to be able to watch movies and listen to their music. It always been and always will be. Hence, we turn to file sharing and borrow CDs from our friends and so forth. This is in regards to boycotting the Motion Picture Association and the Record Recording Industry Association. Check it out. It's a great daily hack, and it's something you should be involved with. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forley, Dave, Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Malikan, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Evan Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, where are we at here? Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diremu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. New subscribers for this month, the reinforcements were Druid Y, Simru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, and User, and Christopher. Thank you so much. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air and fight for freedom, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. Every little bit helps. Special thanks to some hard netrunners, the Flying Monkey Reconnaissance Unit, Dead Code, Vavrek, Megaprogman, ASFD, Tech Freak, This Edge, The Zix, Pig Monkey, Robo Christian, People Tree, NATO Side, No Delete, Weondi, Rain Street, Malcav, Omega, Ronan Sariat, Helgon, and Foulweir. And props to Nighthawk for the dope Photoshop. And digital baptisms this week. Dun, dun, dun. Lizards P1 is now Heckle. Lizards P2 is now Jekyll. And Bonsai Poppy's new cat is now known as Bully. Upcoming events, Linux Fest Northwest will be on April 30th in Bellingham, Washington. Yes, the poster is scary, but you can go check that out if you are, in fact, a psycho Linux nut anywhere in the Northwest, and includes Canada if you're willing to cross the border. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of their pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L @rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to check out the album Pheromones by Bool. Love these guys. And today I'm going to leave you with some good wine maintenance music, the kind of stuff you listen to while you're cleaning guns, upgrading software, or, you know, doing anything else. It's a song by a guy named Silvio Rodriguez called Mi Unicornio. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line. Mi unicornio azul ayer se me perdió. Bastando lo dejé. Y desapareció. Cualquier información, bien la voy a pagar. Las flores que dejó no me han querido hablar. Mi unicornio azul ayer se me perdió. No sé si se me fue, no sé si se extravió. Y yo no tengo más que un unicornio azul. Si alguien sabe de él, le ruego información. Cien mil o un millón, yo pagaré. Mi unicornio azul se me ha perdido ayer. Se fue. Mi unicornio y yo hicimos amistad, un poco con amor, un poco con verdad. Con su cuerno de añil pescaba una canción. Saberla compartir era su vocación. Mi unicornio azul ayer se me perdió. Y puede parecer acaso una obsesión, pero no tengo más que un unicornio azul. Y aunque tuviera dos, yo solo quiero aquel. Cualquier información la pagaré. Mi unicornio azul se me ha perdido ayer. Se fue.